it's possible to experience Krishna consciousness from the mode of goodness. In other words, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sattvam Rajas Tamayiti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Nivananti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyam, that the material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. Now, when we're conditioned by the modes, we don't realize we're conditioned by the modes. Matter of fact, we think others are conditioned, but I'm free. And even people's thinking that they're utilizing their free will under the modes is another opportunity to become bothered by the illusory energy. Transcendentally, then included within that is the mode of goodness. Of course, we could be in the mode of hands before we eat. Rarely, our consciousness is in the mode of goodness. Or at least our physical activities may be in the mode of goodness. Has gone over, for instance, deva dvija guru pragya pujanam socham arvivam brahma himsam cha shriram tapa uchate, that deva, worship of the dvija, the twice born of the Brahmins, guru, the guru, pragya, learned persons, Deva, Dvija, Guru, Pragya, Pujanam, to worship them. In other words, physically utilizing our body, Socham, Brahmacharya, Mahimsam, Cha, for things like worship, offer proper respect to superiors, because by offering proper respect to superiors, then we gain the ability to hear what they're saying. We can't actually listen to anyone we don't like or we don't offer respect to. What to speak of if we think we're superior to them? That only when we become submissive can we actually hear properly. And only if we hear, is there any possibility to become inspired to follow what they're saying? If we don't hear something, how can you become inspired by it? And hearing is not just the act of being able to hear and then repeat. Sometimes people, devotees are half asleep. You say, Prabhu, wake up. And you go, I'm completely awake. I can tell you exactly what you said. They may be able to repeat it like a parrot, but the actual import, the realization behind the words, they've missed out on because they weren't paying attention. It's like eating a meal and not chewing the food, just swallowing it. Yes, you're eating the food, but you're not tasting it. Only when we actually chew the food and we pay attention to it and we actually have some appreciation for it, can we actually taste what the food's like. Similarly, the words from the Bhagavad Gita are all transcendental. It says that it's like a flow of nectar from Krishna to Arjuna, but we may not be tasting the nectar, because we're swallowing it through our ears and we're not chewing it. So therefore one has to at least in the beginning understand that when there are these modes of nature, it's very difficult to chew properly, to actually hear. So at least a little bit grasping. Like when I was in Croatia in Rijeka, I gave a class, and one of the devotees got into a little bit of an argument with me because I was saying that charity should be given the mode of goodness. And they said, well, you know, I give money to the beggars on the street. So I said, it's not recommended. It's like you'll get a reaction for it. They didn't like that at all. They felt it was, you know, unfeeling. Actually, that was the words they used. It was unfeeling. We don't want to be unfeeling. Yeah, sure. when you're burning in hell, you'll definitely get a good feeling. You'll get a lot of feeling. And I gave the example, if there's a little old lady, you help her across the street, and she goes into the bank and robs it. Then you become accessory to the crime, an assistant to the crime. And then they say, well, I didn't know that. It's the attitude that counts. So you put your hand in fire, you may have a good attitude, but it still burns you. There may be subtleties of the law of nature. But the point is that the laws of material nature, these modes are working. Otherwise, how we identified with this body? How is all the living entities in the universe identified with their gross and subtle bodies if the material nature wasn't working on us as it's working on everyone else? Therefore, it's suggested that we learn how the material modes of nature are working subtly and grossly so we can make an effort when we're aware, and awareness means goodness, when we're a little conscious, to try to act at least in goodness so we can become receptive to transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult to be receptive. Unless we're somewhat in goodness, it's very difficult to actually hear what's being said in the Bhagavad Gita and at least take it seriously or appreciate it. We may take it seriously in the sense that we may not like it at all, but to actually appreciate it is in a whole different state of consciousness. And not only appreciate it, but to actually get some inspiration to follow it. Now here it's pretty easy because most of us don't give any charity, so we couldn't care if it's a goodness, passion, or ignorance. Yeah, so, but for those who somehow or another get an opportunity to give some charity, here are some of the things that people would probably disagree with, because most of the society nowadays, including ourselves, are very much influenced by the mode of passion. And of course, if we read the newspapers or internet, whatever, we'll find that society, a good portion of it, has slipped into ignorance. And the only difference between the animals and them is that the animals are a little bit more sattvic. The animals, at least, they know that there's usually two sexes. They're not as in ignorance as many of people nowadays, at least in certain parts of the world. So, because in the mode of passion, for instance, expectation of some reward. Most of our congregation, which comes from a certain ethnic background, they give donations. As a matter of fact, they support the temple, but their motivation is not to go back to the spiritual world. At best, it's go to heaven, if they believe in heaven. Or they believe in a next birth, so they can come back, they put the dollar and the quarter in the hundi or the euro, and they get back €1 million in return. So it's a good business deal, Krishna consciousness. For them, it's a business deal. They give in charity, but they want a plaque with their name on it, on the temple. So when they come back as a ghost, they can watch everyone see if they recognize their name and appreciate it. And indeed, as Jarasandha, he was willing to offer his own head if he could get immortal fame. So people have a lot of wealth, and they've gotten it through sometimes pious means or impious means, whatever means they've gotten it. What they ultimately want is some false prestige. They want to enjoy the false prestige, and they want to come back in the next life and get the results of their work. Because they have some knowledge, because they've gotten all this wealth in this lifetime, because they did pious activities in the last lifetime. And they have some feeling like that. And others, they've done pious activities in the last lifetime, but they have no feeling to the next lifetime. Maybe they've gotten their pious credit by not so much with so much knowledge. They just were interested in pious credit, so they did what was necessary to get it. But they had no real philosophical knowledge behind it, and therefore they've come back in this lifetime, and they're trying to enjoy their pious credit. They're called Naradamas. And some people, they've had some knowledge why, how they got the pious credit. They come back in this lifetime, and they want to enjoy it, but they want to make sure that they continue on the next lifetime. So therefore, they give some charity in the right people to the Hare Krishna movement. Because people are just not educated. Most people are not educated. They don't believe that there are three modes. They don't even know there's three modes. What to speak of believing that there's three modes? What to speak of behind the modes is God, is controlling it. They have no idea. They're in ignorance. But they've been trained up a little bit in religious principles without much knowledge. And therefore they're a little involved in some kind of religious organization, semi-religious organization. And therefore sometimes they give in charity, but indiscriminately. But they want something in return. They want at least that story I told of, well, everyone knows the story, but the man who heard that if he gave €5 to the church, he'd go to heaven. So he thought, well, I never give charity, but at least if I go to heaven, it's good. So let me give some charity. So he gave maybe he gave €20 to the church. And he demanded a receipt. So he got the receipt, and he was so attached to it that even after he left his body, he still had the receipt with him. So when he was being judged, he went through the pearly gates. Then Peter looked into the book, and he said, "You've done a lot of bad things. You're supposed to go to hell." So the man said, "No way." He said, "I gave to the church. And I have a receipt to prove it. And they told me if I give some donation to the church, I'm guaranteed to go to heaven." So he took out the receipt. Peter said, "No, I'm sorry. All your bad deeds have outweighed the €20 donation you gave." He said, "You're supposed to go to hell." So there's a big argument. God saw what was going on. He comes out from it. And he says, "Peter, what's going on? Why is there a big holdup on the line of judgment?" He said, "Well, this man, he's very sinful, he's supposed to go to hell, but he claims he's supposed to go to heaven because he gave a donation to the church." So God took Peter off to the side, took out €20, and gave it to Peter and said, "Give him back the €20 and tell him to go to hell." Some people are expecting that if I give to the church, doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to go to heaven. They have so much, they have no idea what heaven is, first of all. They have some vague idea what heaven is. They don't even know that heaven is not the spiritual world. They don't even know what the spiritual world is. But they want to get there, and they know how to do some pious activities, so at least they're somewhat godly. At least they're not, they have some religious, they believe in some scripture, they believe in some commandments, they believe in some, so therefore they're coming to the human, they have potential to come to the human platform. While others who completely disagree with everything Krishna says, they're less than animals. And therefore, urdvam gacchati sattvista madhye tishtati brajasa Ganya Gunavritista Adogachiti Tamasa. Those who act in the mode of goodness, they go upward. Those who act in the mode of passion, they stay on this earth planet. And those who act in the mode of ignorance, they go down to the animal species. So at least they probably won't go down to the animal species, but they probably won't go upward to the heavenly planets that they're hankering for either. They're just not qualified. But at least they're somewhat religious. So they get the opportunity to come back in the human form of life again. depending upon their degree of following the four of the principles, at least. But they want, they give in charity, they want to become elevated to the heavenly planets, but at least they'll get back a human form of life. Now, depending on who they give charity to, if it's to the church propagating God consciousness, they get some credit, because it's to a religious organization. If they give to religions, as it says here, that gives to institutions where sense gratification goes on, they'll get sinful reactions for it, and they'll be degraded to the mode of ignorance. Desire, grudging mood. Sometimes people are forced to give charity out of, they don't really want to give it, like their boss tells them you have to give it, percentage. So they give it, they don't get any real credit for it. So there's mode of passion. Of course, we get into ignorance, which is really the worst thing. Because everyone wants, has to, charity, penance, and austerity, everyone has to perform them. Whether for a religious reason, for a materialistic reason, everyone is engaged to some degree or another. Charity, if we make money and our wife takes it, then that's also charity. It says legitimate pickpockets. If a man on the street comes with a gun and holds you up and takes your money, you call the police, because they won't help you either nowadays. I remember in Vrindavan when I was riding with Rita Chaitanya Prabhu in a rickshaw, and one boy came up and put his hands into Rita Chaitanya Prabhu's pockets and took money out of it, rupees out of it. So we ran after him, got the guy. The storekeepers came by, they grabbed him. It was a big thing. We got the money back. But, you know, tomorrow he'll be back there picking pockets again, because he gives a certain percentage to the police. He's their man out there collecting donations. So there's also, people have to give charity if we don't give it to Krishna and to his representatives, and we'll have to give charity to someone else. We'll have to give our, what we're working for will be given to someone else. So people think, oh, they're demanding money, the Hare Krishna movement. They're asking, but actually, we don't give it to them, we'll have to give it to someone else and get the results of that, whoever they are. We're giving it to people in the mode of passion or ignorance, and we get the results of that. So like Narada Muni came along one day, and he met a thief and a murderer. And he said, what are you doing? Don't you realize you're going to get sinful reactions for what you're doing? So the thief and the murderer said, well, I'm doing it because I love my family. They need me. So Narada Muni said, good. But, you know, you don't realize that you're going to take all the sinful reactions for what you're doing, or you'll get the most of them. So, but they love me. That's why I'm doing it. All right, so go to them and tell them that because they love you, they should take a percentage of your sinful reactions that you're going to get from your sinful activities. So he went to his wife and said, my dear wife, I know you love me and I love you, and therefore I'm doing all these sinful activities to maintain the family. Will you please take, you know, some percentage of the sinful reactions? She said, no way. She said, I take your money, but I don't take the reactions. You can keep all those. And then he went to the children, they gave him the same result, and he went to the dog, and the dog bit him, and he realized it's time to leave. It wasn't love. Therefore, we're going to give, our money is going to go somewhere, and according to where it's going to go, we're going to get the results of it. Not only money, but everything. So unless we're trained up how this material nature works, it's very hard to maintain our Krishna consciousness, and especially if we're so-called Krishna conscious and we do the wrong things all the time. Then the result is we imagine ourselves to be devotees, whatever we're doing. We don't read the books, and even if we read them, we don't accept it, so they don't really have any effect on us. we come to class and we try to hear the books, but our minds are just all over the place. And if we hear something we don't like, we actually argue in class mentally with it. Or we don't bother listening to it. The worst thing is someone speaking in class and then the reaction is, my God, this is too close to home. What to do? What do they say? I have no idea, and I don't want to hear it either. Don't let me hear it, please, material nature. I'll feel, not only I won't do it, but I'll feel guilty about not doing it. And then I'll get angry at the person who's speaking. Why are you making me frustrated? Why are you trying to tell me something I'm not going to do? If you loved me, you wouldn't tell me things I don't want to do. Why are you putting me in anxiety? It's your fault I'm in anxiety. Therefore, we should be interested, for our own benefit at least, to find out how the material world works. So in this age, we can chant Hare Krishna without offense. And that will actually give us some idea of what we're actually trying to accomplish here in the material world. If we try to act in the mode of goodness in the material world without becoming Krishna conscious, it won't work in Kali Yuga. People are not, the majority of the people can't maintain their Krishna consciousness or can't maintain the mode of goodness. It's just not possible. Everything is so contaminated. Only if we try to act in the mode of goodness to become Krishna conscious can our hearts become purified from passion and ignorance so we can naturally be in goodness. Because acting in the mode of goodness may purify ourselves a little bit. But only when we become Krishna conscious can ignorance and passion become purified away. Only in that way can we naturally come to the mode of goodness, and therefore the mode of goodness actually becomes attractive rather than just an attempt to act in the mode of goodness. We can develop good habits. We can wash our hands before we eat. We can even wash our clothes or try and treat our food or whatever, you know, goodness, be polite to people. And it could become a habit, but by bad association, it could rapidly, other habits can develop too. But if we get a taste for Krishna consciousness, then the mode of goodness becomes attractive to us because it helps us maintain our Krishna consciousness, which can get further developed. We can develop the mode of goodness, but there's a very limitation to how much goodness we can develop in Kali Yuga. But only by Krishna consciousness can we not only develop the mode of goodness, but we can actually develop pure goodness. That the finer details of the mode of goodness can be revealed to us, and therefore we can actually come to actually purely in goodness in Krishna consciousness. And it'll be natural, it'll be spontaneous. It won't be something we have to think about or something we're unconscious about. It'll all be revealed to us, the value of goodness and how it helps our Krishna consciousness. And how charity in the mode of ignorance or passion is really just sentiment. Not just sentiment, sometimes it's just ignorance, it's just misconception, it's just people don't know what they're doing, or what the results are. In passion, it's just misdirected, that's all. So I'll stop there, thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. For example, when we distribute books, then we ask people for donation, then they reply sometimes, God don't need money.
You should tell them, you have to give your money to God, or else you're a thief. You've stolen the money from God. So he doesn't really need it because he has a lot more. But because you're a thief, you're going to be punished. So you should give the stolen money back, or else God's agents are going to punish you. So you need to give it back. Yeah. It's like if you have a multi-trillionaire and you steal $100 from them, 100 euros. Now, he doesn't need the 100 euros, but when you get caught, you're going to go to jail for as long as you're going to go to jail for it. So you need to give it back. Don't steal from rich people or poor people. Just don't steal. Anything else? Yes.
Also, one lady told me she didn't like the book, but I asked her for donation. Then he suggests me I can give you a job immediately. Now you can earn some money.
Tell her you're earning more money than she is. Tell her ask her how much she makes. She says, I make 100 euros a day. Well, I make 300 euros a day. What do I need your job for? Because I wouldn't tell that to people, they get angry. But in the airport, it used to be like that. Because people passing from all parts of the country or the world, so you tell them something like that, they'll forget it after some time. What do we need their job for? What is? We get enough to eat. What do I have to work for you for? Yeah, and you know, people don't even know who they are, what to speak of their benefit. If you think you're a car, you think your benefit is to filling up the gas tank with putting your mouth, some gasoline in your mouth and filling it up. If you think you're a car, you don't know who you are. You don't know what your benefit is. So some people, they're a little pious. They've been taught from their parents or from whatever to give in charity to saintly people. And most people in the Western world aren't really taught like that nowadays, especially younger people. And the older people, they've forgotten it. Yeah, I know, there's so many people, but it's a filter. I mean, we're not distributing thousands of books a day, although 1,000 people passing by. We're not expecting that every person is going to take a book. We're looking for the ones that Krishna is going to send us, who are eligible to take a book, take some eligibility, some pass-through kriti. It's not our unlimited spiritual potency that inspires people to take the book. It's also a combination of their past pious activities that make them eligible to take a book or give a donation. Krishna in their heart is the one who tells them to give. And if they're a little pious, they listen to him. And if they're not, they won't. They won't listen to him. So it's not our business to think, I'm a Maharati, I'm out here, and by my great power and potency and learning and skill at the art, I'm going to trick everyone to take a book. It doesn't work like that. Anything else?
For devotees, Prabhupada, many places he is speaking about 50% to give for grihasthas, to give donation for spreading Krishna consciousness. Can you give a little bit explanation what this means, this 50%? There are different
50%? Yeah. He gives the example of Rupa Goswami. He had a boatload full of gold coins. 50% he gave to spread Krishna consciousness. 25% he kept for his emergency. 25% he gave to his family and relatives. So that's what it means. Now, of course, most of our devotees don't like that, so they invent so many things. No one does it. It was just impractical. Who believes in the scripture? Maybe Prabhupada was in a bad mood when he wrote that. They'll never accept it. Why? Because they're miserly, that's why. They won't give anything, practically speaking. They won't even give their time what to speak of their money. So what to do? Hopefully inspire them to chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. Maybe they'll at least pay for the prasadam. People are taught to be miserly nowadays. Creepiness. But if they can give 1%, 10%, that's better than... Then Krishna will reciprocate with them. And they'll be inspired to give more in the future. Because if you give something to Krishna, it's not like he takes it and you're poor and starving and he's enjoying kachoris every day instead of just plain old rice. No, Krishna is not a poor man. He's not trying to take your money for his benefit. First of all, if you give the money, then you won't do it, waste your money on something foolish. And if you give the money, then it will be returned to you many times. You'll get so much benefit. But so we're not trying to steal money from people, even our grihasthas. We're trying to just inspire them to be Krishna conscious, that's all. Now we don't expect they're going to go from 0 to 50%, but at least something. They always say 50% impractical, therefore I won't give anything. Because I really don't believe in Krishna, he's going to give me anything back. I need every penny I can. Usually they say, when you ask for a donation on the street, can you give a donation? And the response is, you should give me a donation. I deserve a donation. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.